Tigers Sideline. It's Tigers Talk with Memphis broadcasting legend Greg Gaston. Hear Greg weekday mornings on Sports 56 Mornings along with Eli Savoy from 7 to 10 right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. On Twitter X at Greg_Gaston. Here's Greg with Bryant and Brett.
Greg Gaston joins us now to talk some Tigers. As always, you can listen to him every single weekday morning with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli. He joins us on our Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. Greg, thanks so much for joining us. I want to start with some Tiger basketball. We heard the news this morning. TJ Bamba has committed to Oregon. He visited here last weekend. I know I was talking to you earlier this week off air, and it felt like it was awfully quiet for somebody that had just gotten done with their official visit, and now we've learned that he's committed to Oregon. What did you make of this recruitment process, and what do you make of the Tigers missing out on Bamba?
Well, first of all, good afternoon, guys. Great to be back on with you. Well, I think what it does say, and this is not a knock on Penny Hardaway, but there was the old saying that once Penny got a player on campus, they weren't going to go anywhere else, and that's obviously a falsehood. And not that he hasn't done it in the past, and he's pretty successful in doing so, but in this modern age of the NIL, when other teams can outbid you, there's not much you can do, even when Penny can offer not only a great program, but his services as a former great NBA player. It's not always signed, sealed, and delivered once they get him on campus. And that's something people are going to have to learn to live with that follow Memphis basketball, that are an alum of the school, the University of Memphis, and our big Tiger basketball fans, that even with Penny Hardaway, it's not always going to be easy to seal the deal.
No, it's tough out there. And even after this deadline passes, that you can still lose them. Greg, we don't really know our team. We don't know our rosters anymore until opening night. And I said one thing, that players from yesteryear, and I'm not talking 50s and 60s, I'm talking about not 1990s players, they could rightly say, they could rightly, I think sadly even say, when my eligibility's up, if I don't go pro, y'all forget who I was really fast. And I don't want to name any examples of it, but there's been some really sad cases of it that when it ends, they go from who's who to who's he. I think they could fairly say, y'all forget my name. Now, we don't learn your name until your year in your new stop is almost up.
Yeah, you're right. There's been in the history players that maybe got bad advice and decided to leave before they should have left, and it ended up being a bad story. There have been well-documented stories about that. But now it's not just players that could leave early to go to the NBA or turn professional. It's each and every year players reevaluating their situation at the school, wanting to fight for a starting job, wanting to fight for playing time. Those days are gone, but really it's the NIL that has changed it, and that's understandable that the players want to make as much money as they can as amateur athletes. Not everybody's going to be a professional athlete in whatever sport that may be and play at the highest level, in this case the NBA, so they're going to do what's best for them, and that's why you see players with 2, 3, 4 schools that they played for. So on the one hand, it's understandable. On the other hand, it's frustrating for coaches. I think coaches today have the hardest job than they've ever had because of so many other factors that go into it besides coaching the actual team. Because you have to re-recruit every single player every single year that has eligibility remaining, and that go ahead and also find replacements, a lot of times, a lot of replacements, to fill your roster.
Do you think when it comes to TJ Bamba that maybe this is a good indication or a good thing for the Tigers bringing back David Jones, or do you think that's not? I've seen some people maybe speculating that TJ Bamba didn't want to come to Memphis because the likelihood is now really good that David Jones is going to return to Memphis, and if you have David Jones now in the fold with all the other guards Memphis has picked up in the transfer portal, that, you know, options and playing time, minutes, the ball kind of gets limited. Do you think that's a factor? Do you not take that into effect at all? Especially with how early it still is with the draft process for David Jones.
Yeah, I've heard that speculated as well, and it would be a pure guess on my part because I don't know TJ Bamba from anybody. I just know he's a good basketball player who played at Villanova last year. I don't know what floats his boat, but my guess would be no. That probably wasn't a factor. The factor was that Oregon maybe was something that either through the NIL offer that was more or what they have coming back or what they promised out there mm-hmm. or that he wanted to be out on the West Coast. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into it. Certainly one could be if you believe that a star of a team is coming back and it might hurt your playing time. That could be a factor, but it would be purely speculation on my part. So I wouldn't even have a guess, but I've heard those rumors as well.
Phil Knight has spent a lot of money in football and basketball to not have won a national championship in either.
He has spent a lot of money. It is one of the puzzling things when you think about sports and the money that has been dumped into the University of Oregon athletics programs. Now, track and field, they've done okay. But from mm-hmm. the big two, men's basketball and football, you're absolutely right. They've had great years. They've had good runs. But they haven't won it all. And it's all about the brass ring. It's all about winning it all for
it
Phil.
Is.
And Phil's long in the tooth. So he would like to get that done. He's going to continue to support that program, continue to back that athletic department. But you're right, Brett. There's, and I don't know. They've had great players. They've had players that have played mm-hmm. in the NFL. They've had players that have played
Marcus Mariota, won a Heisman.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. But I wonder if there is the West Coast bias to some degree where players maybe from the East don't want to go out West. I think it's changed now with the money you can offer through NIL. And Bamba, I'm not sure where he's actually from. I know he played at Villanova last year, but perhaps that's a situation where it's like, no, I don't care where it's located. What I care about is what kind of program they have and what they can offer.
Yeah. And you're right about track and field, but Greg, Steve Prefontaine ain't walking through that door.
I love Steve Prefontaine.
but he not walking anywhere. Mm-mm. I mean,
no.
90% of the people are going, what are those guys talking about? Look it up. Google. Yeah. Google's your friend.
Look it up.
Google is a good resource. I'm curious. We talked a lot of guards. TJ Bamba, another guard that was here on a visit. It feels like the only real big man we've talked about in terms of guys Memphis is going after is Jaden Quaintance. Now we know he's going to Arizona State after his visit there last weekend. There have been the rumors of Musa Cisse and maybe a reunion with him, and obviously Oklahoma State still a factor there. There's the likelihood that he'll go back to Oklahoma State. But what do you think when it comes to the big man? Do you think we start to see a pivot soon? Do you think there might be some people that just the public hasn't heard that have maybe been on visits or Memphis has been in contact with that's happened already with some of these guards, Tyrese Hunter and I think P.J. Haggerty, his visit was very quiet when he came here. Do you think it's more of that? And then on Musa Cisse, do you think there's a chance we could see that reunion take place?
It's hard to keep things under wraps. It really is. Mm-hmm. It usually leaks out. But I think you're right that there is going to be a pivot by Penny to start to look at more bigs. And even though he's probably looking at this lineup and the possibilities if David Jones comes back as running a smaller lineup at times, running four perimeter players, and then maybe Nick Jerdain, mm-hmm. There's certainly options. And you want to have options, but you have to have some size. And you know, Dange is a pretty big guy, but you need more than that. When you look at the teams that have won national championships recently, obviously Connecticut the last 2 years with the bigs that they've had, and not only one in Klingon who's going to be a high lottery pick, but Sonogo and those other guys have really contributed. You need to have it. You really need to have, because college basketball still plays a back-to-the-basket center, not always, but most of the time, as opposed to the NBA where they're more perimeter-oriented, although you see some teams with back-to-the-basket centers. But when you have a guy like Zach Edey, and I know he's a freak at 7'5", there's not too many guys, or whatever it was, 7'3", there's not too many guys like that. Mm-hmm. But you want to have some size because you're going to go up against teams, more than likely, if you get to the tournament, you run into a big team, and you're a perimeter-oriented team, you're going to have to try to beat them going small ball, and that's not always a success, going up against big guys who can bang, get rebounds, prevent you from getting offensive rebounds and second-chance opportunities. I don't know what's out there. I know there's a lot of guys still in the portal, but I do believe that you'll start to see or at least hear names of consequence as far as size is concerned with players that'll probably be next on Penny's list.
Our guest is Greg Gaston. You hear him every morning on these airwaves from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with Eli Savoy. He's with us every Thursday from the Tiger sideline. It's brought to you by Jim's Place Collierville, Mount Moriah Auto Sales, the law offices of Stephen Leffler, and Neil's Bar and Grill. Greg, I will never let go of this. You can talk worse home loss, worse this kind of loss, worse margin loss. The worst Tiger basketball loss in my mind is that FAU game in Columbus. For all the what-ifs, what could have been, first of all, we never have Dusty May mania. We never have FAU mania. Penny Hardaway maybe catches that spark, and we get everything really relaxed and going here. But we do know this. If you blink, you missed FAU mania.
Yeah, it's amazing how quick that has come and gone. And you know, what you want with your program is a lot of success, but you also love sustainability. Now, turning it into like a professional comparison, look at the Marlins. Would you take, as a fan, two World Series titles in a fairly short period of time and then anemic years all those years after? I mean, that's basically what you got, but you got two World Series championships. Well, they didn't win a World Series. They didn't win a national championship, Florida Atlantic, but they did get to the Final Four. So it was a heck of a run, and now there's going to be lean years. And now it's up to the administration. If they want to put the money into the program, and I don't know what they have for resources. I don't know if they care to do so. But it is going to be rough, the post-Dusty May era, at least at the beginning. Players leaving, they're abandoning ship. So, yeah, it has come and gone very quickly, which, again, puts more pressure, if you don't want to use the word pressure, let's find something a little bit softer for Memphis, but however you shape it, Memphis going into next season, last year it was Memphis and Florida Atlantic. Next year it's Memphis. And if Memphis doesn't win the conference championship,
that's it.
Right. And last year you had all these teams that actually finished in front of Memphis. So you can't have anything close to that again. Now there's not even an excuse if Florida Atlantic knocks you off because
who would be number one challenger?
Well, let's see who finished up there last year. We had Charlotte made a good run. Brian, help me out with some of the teams.
Charlotte, USF, but both those teams have lost all their guys. FAU,
Wichita State, recapturing
it. Not really, no.
UAB will probably get some players.
They will. And UAB, who was that guy they had last year? The big man that was good.
He's Luxembourg.
No, it wasn't. Lindenborg.
Yeah,
he was back.
The country Luxembourg. Yeah, he was their big.
Axel and Dizzy from Guns N' Roses Luxembourg.
That's right.
Yeah, you're right. Those programs right there that you mentioned, they all lost a ton. Mm-hmm. I think maybe in the future, Charlotte could become a player. There's a lot of money for NIL and football. I would think maybe that would carry over to basketball. I think UAB can be a solid basketball program. We'll see about football. Again, Florida Atlantic, it doesn't look like they're going to pop the money in immediately. So I think it was short-lived with the Dusty May era. Obviously, he goes on to Michigan. So I don't know. There's really not many challengers. And let's be honest. Again, it puts the pressure on Memphis to get it done and get it done in a big way.
And Greg, we've talked about it a lot during this time, and you and I in private and you on your show. It's a better football league than it is basketball.
It is. There's no question about it. Now, let's be honest, football took its hits in the offseason. We'll see how they recover from the loss of a Willie Fritz at Tulane, who certainly had that thing going. We'll see if UTSA is still a good program. I would imagine it will be, but a good program in the Frank Harris Frank Harris era. We'll see what Tom Herman can do at Florida Atlantic. I think USF.
Here comes USF, yeah.
Yeah, I think they still have the ability. Man, the resources down there, they're going to build eventually a stadium, I believe, on campus. Aren't they talking about football? Are they talking about, the football stadium. I believe they're talking about that. Yeah, so I think in the future you could see USF being a challenge. Look, let's hope 5-10 years from now we're not talking about Memphis in the American Conference.
Something else has happened in a
positive way. But to answer your question, there's not a lot. There's going to be programs that will surprise you. from year, and you know, not every year, but once in a while, you'll say, oh, wow, you know, who knew that they were going to be that good this year? Or look at Tulsa basketball this year. It's going to be short-lived. Nothing's going to have sustainability. The only one that should have sustainability and should be the bell cow is Memphis. And I'm not saying you're winning it every single year, because that's really too much to ask for any program. I don't care if you're the top, if you're the cream of the crop, asking to do it every year and not having any kind of, you know, bad issues or injuries or things like that is really not fair. But mm-hmm. to ask them to win the conference championship in football, you know, once every 3 years, to win, to be in the basketball conference championship game 4 out of 5 years, to be in the NCAA tournament 4 out of 5 years, I don't think it's a lot to ask for, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Greg, I'm curious. We talked last week about the spring game, and you were obviously there conducting a lot of interviews throughout the game and kind of listening to what you said afterwards and listening to those interviews during the spring game. It was really impressive, you know, listening to them and how together it seemed like this team is, and kind of everyone knows that one goal of the season, and they're all, you know, a lot of confidence about it going into the fall. Are you surprised how few guys entered the transfer portal from this roster in this spring transfer portal? Because I think you saw a couple go in that might have been a little bit of a surprise. But for the most part, this team stuck together. Do you think that's because of how tight this team has gotten and that one goal that they all share? Did that surprise you that not many guys jumped in the spring portal?
No, it did not surprise me. I did not expect a mass exodus. Yeah. I do believe the team is... it has chemistry. Unlike the basketball season when we talked about the lack of chemistry, I think this football team has a lot of chemistry. They have one mission, and that's to win the conference championship game and then see where things, you know, happen with the group of five and that representative in the playoff. So, yes, I'll use the P word again. There's pressure. But the amazing thing, and I said this to you guys last week, was to a player and to a coach, how much confidence they have in each other to get it done. They expect to be the team that is predicted to be number one in the preseason. They expect to be the hunted as opposed to the hunter. They love the position they are in. And I think not getting to the championship game would be a huge disappointment. Even with a 10-win season, a win over Iowa State in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl game, that was a very, very good year. They still didn't get to the conference championship game. That is the goal. That's priority number one. I have not seen that kind of confidence in Memphis football from within since I've been here. And I think that's great. Now you got to go out there and you got to produce it. But they are really confident. From the mental side of things, they are all in.
We're so with you. In fact, I had this nugget earlier. Only 10 FBS programs have posted 10 straight winning seasons from the 2014 season through 2023. That's 10, concluding last year in alphabetical order. Here they are: Alabama, Boise State, Clemson, Georgia, Iowa, Memphis, Ohio State, Oklahoma State, Utah, and Wisconsin. What we once dreamed of, Greg, it's happened before our very eyes, and I know you are deeply appreciative of it and work very hard with it and enjoy it so much. Do you think It is that known around? Well, we talk Joe Lenardi's May 2nd mock bracket more than what's actually been done in football.
Right. It's an impressive run, and that's an impressive list to be a part of. And I think people forget, some people certainly remember, the lean years, and there were many, many lean years. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, just a couple of decades ago, when they broke through in the mid-2000s or early 2000s, whatever it was, to go to New Orleans. I forget mm-hmm. the year now. But that was such a monumental achievement. And now you take it for granted. You take it for granted. I know there's more bowl games. I understand that. But Memphis, to be as consistent as they have been, and that says an awful lot about the program. It shows you that, you know, if you get a string of good head coaches, you can have that success. They're able to bring in good players.
Quarterbacks
and coaching. You're absolutely right. But I also understand the fans wanting more. As long as you show the appreciation and you know the history, those type of fans, I'm talking about the diehards and those that have been around, that you asking for more, asking to get to this conference championship game in 2024 is not a big ask, in my opinion. So even though it's been an unbelievable run that to some degree is taken for granted, you still want to get, you feel that you have and should have the best football program in the conference, then you feel that you should get to the conference championship game, and hopefully for the sake of, you know, for themselves, but also for the fan base, that they do get there.
Yeah. I mean, Greg, I remember what year it was. 2003, my first bowl game as a
TV
human.
Debut.
I mean, TV debut as
come
a,
on, Greg.
With you, Greg. I mean, good Lord.
Yeah, how about that? 2003. I was thinking, like, was that 2005? So I would have been off a couple of years. But you know,
Greg was 18 and already in this business in 2003. Well, it's really remarkable. And had children.
I was almost legal. I was three years away from being legal to drink.
That's right.
Yeah, unbelievable.
That's right.
Mary was just 16. Even more remarkable.
16 years old, she was back then.
How about that? Well, Greg, before we let you go, I want to ask, I've been now, what, in the last week and a half, been out to two baseball games for the Tigers. I was there for their game against Mississippi State.
Good
I was
on you,
there
bro.
On Sunday for their game against East Carolina. What have you thought of year one under Matt Reiser? Obviously, a lot of change with any coach in their first year, but he plays a different style of baseball. He likes to get guys on base, likes to get them around, a lot of stealing, being really aggressive. What have you thought of his year one, and where do you see this team building under him?
Well, there's two things. There's a long road to hoe, but I think they got the right guy there to get the job done. To have the success that he had at Southeastern Louisiana, to go to four NCAA tournaments, he was a three-time coach of the year. I think that he has that enthusiasm, that eagerness. He coaches aggressively, so his style, I think, is conducive to people wanting to watch baseball, which can get slow and boring. You guys know that, even though we love the game. I think he's the right guy. He's going to get his guys in that fit his system, and I think Memphis has a chance to be really good in the conference. They're obviously taking their hits here this season. Mm-hmm. They're still, they got a couple of series left. They got three series, in fact, in the American Conference. Only eight of the 10 now go to the conference tournament. So not all 10, or all eight it was in years past. You got 10 teams now after the reconfiguration, and only eight go, so two stay home. So Memphis needs to make sure that they're going to Clearwater, because anything can happen once you get to the tournament.
Sure.
But they got a three-game series this weekend in Tulane, in New Orleans against Tulane. They got one at UAB, and then their final three games of the regular season at home will be against Wichita State. These are teams that they have to have success against. They struggled against the East Carolinas of the world. Mm-hmm. That are really powerful and nationally ranked programs. But for Memphis to get to the tournament, they're going to have to do some damage here. They're going to have to figure it out. They have been in a rut of late. But I think the long-term future for this program is very good under Matt Reiser's leadership.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think both those games played well early, and just kind of that game against Mississippi State was really close throughout the game. That one against East Carolina on Sunday, played really well through the first, three or four innings, and then kind of let it get away from them. So I definitely think some positive signs there under Matt Reiser in year one. But Greg, as always, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you so much, and we'll be listening tomorrow morning from 7 to 10 a.m. like I do, like we do, like you should do every single morning to Greg and Eli right here on these airwaves. I like that style of baseball.
Yep.
Get them on, get them over, get them in.
Sure, yeah, and it's a lot. I mean, you're watching. You can't look away for a second, or you'll go, how'd he end up on second? How'd this guy end up on third? How'd they score? Literally, I think it was the Mississippi State game. And we were, obviously, I talked about this earlier this week. It was a packed house. We were standing at one spot. Connor was like, go look over there and see if that spot might be a little better. So I walked, before I could even walk from the spot we were at to the new spot, I didn't even realize the Tigers scored a run, and I look up like an inning later. I go, how did they get four runs? Well, they had three. How did they now have four? And Connor was explaining to me, and it's just the style of baseball. It's really fun to watch.
I think ever so slightly, and we know it all trickles down, it, from the big leagues down, we're getting not away from, but moving a little more to speed, to whitey ball, and away from just living for the three-run tank.
Yeah, no, you're right about that.
The pitching's too good.
Pitching's really
good. The situational pitching's too good, especially in the major leagues. These guys that can come in and they're pumping just gas.
Yeah.
It's hard to catch up with that.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, pitching's so good.
And then the rules of extra, and you get in a tight game, you get the extra innings, you got to manufacture a little bit.
You got to figure out how to move them over, get guys in, and I mean, when you're I mean, yeah, so you got to, they're gifting you a guy on second. You got to find a way to bring him in.
You do. And then we change all the way back around to baseball.
Then,
in the postseason.
Then we get to the playoffs. Everyone knows how it's going. And then, hey, welcome back to regular how baseball should be played.
Live for the Earl Weaver three-run run then. I know people are on the way home right now, and maybe you don't want to cook. You wonder what to have tonight. Stop by any of the Jason's Deli locations and let them do it for you. All that great food, wholesome food forever. It's a family thing. And all those great locations, wherever you are in our area, you're near a Jason's Deli. I promise you, you're not far away. Location on Ridgeway Road over across from MUS over by the University of Memphis at Poplar and Highland, down in Olive Branch, out in Cordova. There's one close by, bringing more to the table. It's a family thing with over 200 Memphis area associates for your every need and all that great food. Dining in, to-go, delivery, they have it for you. If you're getting ready for something Mother's Day weekend, you're going to have a big gathering at your house, whether it's that day or leading up to that day, let them take care of you. Catering, 5,000 or 5,000, they've got you covered. Every meal, breakfast, lunch, dinner, the hot meals like the pasta feast, the plain Jane potato bar, the grand potato bar package. You can get all that. And at Jason's Deli, it's always about choice and always healthy. First franchise in the nation to be trans fat free. And the choice, regardless if you seek a gluten-free menu, vegetarian sandwiches, healthy kids' meals, you'll be delighted at Jason's Deli. Plenty of organic food to choose from. And that salad bar and all the locations, over 30 items for you to prepare it however you would like. And complimentary free ice cream in all the locations out in Cordova, down in Olive Branch, over at the University of Memphis at Poplar and Highland, and at Ridgeway Road. The salads off the menu, the Mesa Chicken Salad, the Big Chef Salad, the Taco Salad, they have it for you. Check them out online as well at jasonsdeli.com.
Well, let's get to a break. When we come back, we'll talk about what's trending.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you. Johnny Hill producing. We got about 30 minutes left in today's show and plenty to get to during what's trending. I want to talk about some things more at length, but I did want to get this out early. We talked earlier that Damian Lillard will return tonight for the Bucks. A game that's about to start any minute now. I mean, 5:30, it sneaks up on you, Brett.
Here we go.
Here we go. Ball about to be in the air. How about that?
Time go by fast.
That's it, wow. Johnny. Let it go.
I'm literally like, this is not like just like fake radio, like, you know, I'm shocked. I'm literally shocked sitting here right now going, there's a basketball game that's about to tip off. I mean, it blows my mind. It blew my mind last Friday.
Time go by fast, man.
I'm texting with a good friend of mine, and we're talking about how everything goes by in a blink of an eye now. It does.
I feel like we just started the show.
This show's flown by.
It does, and I hope people can tell we really love this stuff.
We do. Yes, this is not something we dread all day before we come on. But I did want to.
I don't know that I'd want to do to 10 o'clock tonight.
No, thank you. I got to eat at some.
But I
point.
Bet I could.
I could find something to talk about and be happy talking about it. I shouldn't even said ball almost in the air. Ball's been in the air. It's already 4-3 in that game. But I did want to mention, I'm sure everybody knows by now if they're watching the game, Damian Lillard playing tonight. Giannis out tonight.
Yeah.
For the Bucks.
E. Smith gave
us
that.
He sure did. And he was spot on. So one.
How great
in,
is he?
And wow, he's unbelievable. And how about a little breaking news right before we got him out of there? That was really, really fun. I wanted to talk about this, Brett, because this came down earlier this afternoon. Georgia and Kirby Smart have agreed on an extension for him, a new 10-year, $130 million deal.
That's easy math.
man, that's good stuff.
That's 13 per,
sure,
isn't it?
Sure is. In this ESPN story.
I don't even have to take my shoes off to do that.
No. That's easy math. The deal makes Smart the highest paid coach in college football in the country, and it's the first $13 million deal for a coach. Incredible and definitely worth it.
So this year at Coaching Carousel Time, and we're going to have it, and I think we're going to have more pressure on coaches than we've ever had of maybe not playoffs or bust, but you be in the mix or bust at a lot of places. And we know what the mix is. Can I define it? Probably not.
Right.
But I know it when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know it when you see it. For SEC Big Ten openings, more SEC because we're nuts, good and bad. In the SEC, we're nuts with the money. We're nuts with we squeeze real tight, and sometimes we even have real nuts that poison your trees.
Yes,
we're going to have this year at Coaching Carousel Time. I think to land that big coach, to bomb somebody out of their existing job to be your savior. I think it's going to start at $15 million.
Whew. I mean, it's a lot, but that doesn't surprise me. It was kind of like you were saying.
15 at 6.
Oh,
that's 90.
Yeah.
I can do that
that's
too.
Quick math as well. But you're right. I mean, I think when we're talking SEC Media Days this year, when we're down at SEC Media Days, I mean, how many teams are going to, their coaches are going to be talking about the expectation this year of the college football playoffs? I think most all the teams outside of Vanderbilt. I mean, and sure, there are other teams that's realistically not a
state idea. With the first year coach.
Sure, state
won't
with the first
be.
Year coach. But they're going to be, most of the teams down there are going to be talking about
A&M with the first year coach will be.
It sure will be.
Being in a mix, exactly.
That is a big difference from actually making it. But teams with that idea of we could make it, we should be in the conversation of a team that can go out there and make it. I think let's go through it alphabetically.
Okay. You tell me in the mix, whether it's realistic or not, but their fans with that summertime build up and hype. Alabama?
Yes.
Arkansas?
No.
Auburn?
Yes.
Auburn in the mix?
I think yes.
Ooh.
Maybe.
Well, that could be
maybe.
A place that's offering $15 million to somebody then. Florida?
No, on Florida.
Georgia?
Yeah, absolutely.
Kentucky?
Yes.
LSU?
Yes.
Ole Miss?
Yes.
State?
No.
Mizzou, yes.
Yeah, Missouri, yes, absolutely.
OU, yes.
Yes.
South Carolina.
No.
Tennessee.
Tennessee, yes.
Yes. Texas, yes.
Texas, yes.
Texas A&M in a mix.
In the mix, yes.
That's 8 or 9.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, most of the teams down there are going to be talking college football playoffs.
All right, A&M, new coach. They're not, they're not changing coaches. Texas not changing coaches. Tennessee's not changing coaches. Oklahoma could be. That's starting point 15.
Mm-hmm. Oh, easily.
For somebody.
Easily.
Arkansas.
Absolutely.
They have to make a change.
And we've already seen what they've done in basketball. Are you saying they're not going to do that in football as well?
And the story I've told of they feel like they've got basketball right.
Sure.
I think so. I think you could say they got it right. Time sure will tell, but right now, and they've got everybody back together again. The Razorback house has been very divided for a long time. It goes back to 06, 07, 08 at the end of Houston Nutt with boosters flying planes over the stadium, a fire Houston Nutt.
Yeah.
And they had their long-term guy, Petrino, and then that came undone.
Sure.
But it's back together. And it's back together, and they're going to get football right. And to get football right, you got to go out and wave a lot of money around.
Sure.
15. That's going to be the new point with Kirby cashing in at 13. And you know who's going to love that? Kirby.
Yo, absolutely.
Because then he's going to say, well, we need to redo mine.
He's going to say, I'm the best coach in the country. Let's get back
I'm
to the
doing
table.
It. Y'all are talking about doing
it. Mm-hmm. And, I
mean, Lane Kiffin.
Sure.
Where's mine?
Uh-huh. Easily. I mean,
Eli Drinkwitz.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's plenty. There's a lot of coaches out there, but certainly what Kirby Smart's put together, I don't think anybody should be surprised that he's getting a contract like this, because he's brought it to the table, and he has answered every single adversity and question about him as a coach.
You could easily see in a first year of Kalen DeBoer at Alabama, him go 11-1, maybe not to the SEC championship game, but into the playoffs, win a game or two, they tear up his deal and add more money and tack on more years for him.
Oh, I could definitely see that happening. I mean, I think that might be the easy of, like,
almost standard operating,
sure,
isn't it?
Sure, and
and some that we think, let Jeff Lebby win seven.
Sure.
He's going to want his deal torn up and get a new one, and he will have earned it.
Well, and that's the thing, I think, with what the college football playoffs is now, I think it gives, you know, coaches that avenue of, if I go above and beyond, if I go all out, and certainly this deal helps it, if I go all out, if we make a run and get to the playoffs and win a game and go deep, I'm going to need a new contract. I'm going to need more money. I'm going to need that extension. And so it's going to be kind of fun to watch, especially the SEC. And obviously we're, you know, closest to the SEC, so that's kind of what we gravitate to. But with all of those heavy hitters in this conference, it's going to be fun to kind of watch the coaching side of it play out over these next couple of years.
And somebody's got to lose.
Somebody's got to lose. Well, that's always the game. I mean,
Simple math.
As much as it's SEC, 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 if there are going to be teams that are so great in the conference and teams that are really good in the conference, there have got to be teams that are really struggling and not very good. And I think in this day and age, what we're seeing, I think there are going to be some, you know, quick moves.
Florida to hire Mr. Wright after Billy Napier doesn't work out. Starting point, 15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think so. And I think I keep going back, and now that they're going to be in the SEC, only a couple months now until they're officially SEC members, but Oklahoma, they go out and hire Brent Venables, and first year it's okay, but it's not what a lot of people expected, I think, in year one under him. And you saw right after the first year people saying, maybe we need to go ahead and move off of Venables.
He needed that Texas win last year.
He really did. And so I think you're going to start seeing a lot of quick changes. If things not working out, we've got to pivot and switch gears and find somebody new.
What you just said, copy and paste for Hugh Freeze.
Yeah.
I think Hugh Freeze could get in trouble with a 7-5 season.
Yeah.
I know he could at 6-6.
Oh, 6-6, 100%. Because I think a lot of people were saying last year, okay, it's still very early. Let him get, you know, this staff sure in.
But show us some direction.
Let us get these players, you know, give them a couple of recruiting cycles, give them a couple of transfer portal cycles, and then let's see what happens. And if he comes out this year and really struggles, especially kind of with how last year ended, those last couple of games of the season, oh, yeah, I think he could be in trouble with a 6-6 season.
Were you surprised with that East versus West nugget I had with Keith Smith, that 11 championship teams in the 21st century in the NBA, six from the East, five from the West? I don't know many people would believe that.
Yeah, I don't think so. That's a really good...
It feels like heavy West.
Sure, but then, you know, you got to think about those Miami Heat teams with LeBron on them,
Toronto.
The Cavs team, Toronto, a couple
Milwaukee.
Years. There's been, I think the top end of the East has been really good, and it's just how packed the Western Conference is with all of those loaded teams from top to bottom. But yeah, that did kind of surprise me a little.
Because we're very puffy in the NBA Western Conference.
Of course. And that was a great question you brought up to Keith. Especially here in Memphis, we've got a team in the West. And I think
I won't even hear the idea the SEC is overly puffy. I know better.
Yes. But no, I think we get kind of Western Conference. It's the conference. The East is nothing. And, you know, I mean, we always talk about it. We'd rather be in the East because, you know, Grizzlies would be the number one seed.
Looks easy.
East, exactly. And, you know.
Not as easy as it wouldn't be as easy as we think it is.
No, and especially now, I think a lot of East.
Well, we don't have that anymore in SEC world. There's no more West, and I will miss it. It was fun, and you could make a case. I told Pat Smith, somebody ought to be doing this. Somebody ought to be ghostwriting it for Paul, put Paul Feinbaum's name on it, and sell a million copies.
Sure.
You could make a case from 1992 until its demise last year when they got away from it, that it was the toughest conference in the history of college football.
Wow.
Just the West.
Yeah. That's a good point, and you're right. Someone should do that and put Paul.
All the national championships, all the Heisman Trophy winners, all the Outland Trophy winners, all the big bowls.
It's strong. It's really strong, and that's just the West. That's crazy. Wow.
But no more.
No. Now it's just one. More unity in the SEC. We're all one now. We're all together.
I ain't counting on that.
No, I wouldn't either. But let's go ahead and get to our final break of the day. When we come back, wrap up today's show, Taco Bell Crunch Time.
You already know you can listen to Sports 56 anywhere with the Sports 56 app. Or at sports56whbq.com. But you can also watch us daily with live video of all of our shows on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again are Brett Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
This is pretty cool, and we're just getting started, so.
Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
This is for all the biggest crunch time.
You are looking live. In your life, have you seen anything like that?
Goodbye! Hello, high school!
It's obviously crunch time.
Hammer, nail, coffin, this baby is over!
The Double Steak Grilled Cheese Burrito, so good. Double the steak with nacho cheese sauce, seasoned rice, red strips, sour cream, and the three cheese blend wrapped inside a warm flour tortilla. With even more three cheese blend grilled on the top. The Double Steak Grilled Cheese Burrito, it hits the spot now at Taco Bell. And at Taco Bell, when they say they are feeding people's lives with unexpected good, they mean it. Bowl food you can't get anywhere else.
Well, I want to apologize in advance for both what I learned today and what I could have done without, because I'm not sure many people really care about these two topics, but I do, and so I'm bringing them to the table. What I learned today is that Major League Soccer's Philadelphia Union have officially signed a 14-year-old. How about that?
Wow.
Kevin Sullivan is considered the best 14. American soccer prospect in the world. And he has been a part of
He was born in 2010?
Yeah, that's right. Yes. he's been a part of the Philadelphia Union's youth academy, but he has signed.
That's even young for y'all.
It is extremely young. for me. But he is now signed to the Philadelphia Union, and part of his contract, there is a clause in there that
my laptop I'm owns older than that.
It sure is. but in this is an interesting clause. Once he turns 18. Manchester City, the Premier League powerhouse, will get his rights. They're going to pay $5 million for the rights for this player once he turns 18 years old. It is considered the first of its kind where two teams, an MLS team and a European team, have prearranged an agreement to transfer him once he turns a specific age. And they're saying that this 14-year-old kid could debut this season for the Philadelphia Union if he continues to progress like he's been progressing. So who knows? We could turn on an MLS game later this year and see a 14, 15-year-old kid out there.
14. Wow.
He's young.
What was I doing at 14?
Not playing professional soccer. No, I know that's for sure.
Not playing any soccer.
No.
Well, we've done it, Bryant. Today is the official college football equinox. Oh, we are officially closer to next year, this season, 114 days to this season, than we are from last year, 115
that's
games.
Incredible.
So. Mark your calendars.
Wow, I love that. That is awesome. That makes me feel good. What doesn't make me feel good, though, is what I could have done without today. I'm telling you, there's going to be a 30 for 30 one day about the revamp of the Arena Football League. And when we all sit down and watch it, everyone's going to say, you know what? Bryant was on top of that when it was happening. Because this league, the revamp of this league has been horrific. I mean, it has been awful. I didn't bring it up yesterday, but yesterday, we're getting ready for week 2 games this week, Brett. Week 2, and they changed the schedule 3 days before games are supposed to be played. They said, hey, you're this team, you're not going here, you're going here instead. And today it came out, one of the teams in the league, the Iowa.
Well, you better be cash only with them.
Oh, man. Well, that's
a COD on everything.
That's a whole nother thing. Supposedly it's coming out that they haven't been paying players, they haven't been paying for them to stay at places. It's been a mess. Earlier today, though, the Iowa Rampage, one of the teams in the Arena Football League, put out a news release that their team will be discontinued in the middle of the season, only 1 week down, already one team out. There have been sources out there that have been telling these people that cover the Arena Football League that more teams are going to follow in the coming week. So it looks like the AFL will be very short-lived.
Brian, in the old WFL, the Memphis Southmen Grizzlies, I think I got the ticket stub somewhere. I can prove it. I'll go on the hunt.
Sure.
We had tickets for the Memphis Southmen Grizzlies to play the New York Stars. We went to the game, and they played the Charlotte Hornets because they moved from New York that week.
Oh, wow. That sounds like something I would see happen in this Arena Football League.
It's never a good sign when you see it. I could have done without the big, bad, rough, tough Philly crowd. They can't keep Knicks fans out of their building. Mm. What happened to Philly being so rough and tough? Here's what I need to tell Philly. Y'all do know that Rocky is fictional.
Ooh, Brett, don't tell him that. You can't tell him that.
Sorry.
You can't tell him that.
Sorry.
They got the statue. Everyone goes to the building and run up the stairs.
It wasn't real.
Well, don't tell him that. Don't tell him that. I think it will break their hearts. Where are you beaming tonight?
Beam me to Philly.
There you go.
Give me one of those tickets that they can't sell, and I'd walk in my Willis Reed number 19 Knicks jersey on tonight with guns showing.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I love that. Well, following everything I said about the Arena Football League, beam me to their game tonight, Nashville.
Wow.
On the road.
I love it, Brian.
This game was supposed to be on.
Be careful, Brian. If you use your debit card, they're going to steal your ID.
That's very true.
Yeah, man.
I'm scared of them, Johnny.
I love
it.
I will say, this game was supposed to be on NFL Network. That has completely fallen apart. No,
yeah, they're not on there, Brett.
On NFL Network. But beat me there. Why not? I'll stream
Big Game 6 is one underway. Yeah. Indiana already with a 10-point lead. Ooh. Light night in baseball. We mentioned Cleveland and Houston. That's about it.
Yeah, only one game that I saw on ESPN. We're about to get Florida and Tennessee college baseball action. So that will be fun to watch as well. But that's all the time we have. Enjoy your night. We'll do it again tomorrow.